This show is not a financial advice. Bitcoin and shitcoins involve risk. Consult with a professional before investing. Citadel 21, the Bitcoin cultural Zine, is now on sale for 10% off on all Zine orders, all physical Zine orders, until January the 1st. All you have to do is just use the code word Bitcoin Rehab during checkout to get those sweet discounts on the physical Zines. So what are you waiting for? Get some of that limited edition Zines. Only 1,000 copies will be printed ever from every Citadel 21 Zine, ever. So what are you waiting for? Get onto Citadel21.com and buy yourself those limited edition Zines while supplies last. And after that, there will be no more Zines left. That's Citadel21.com, the Bitcoin cultural Zine. Wait a second, do I hear pigs? It's the BitPiggies! Oh my god, they're so cute! You can easily teach your children how to save money with the new BitPiggies. They're plastic and they go oink all the time when you put a little money into it. And it's really good for saving money. Each BitPiggy comes with an open dime that you can use in order to store Bitcoin on it, with stickers that you can use to put money onto your open dime. So what are you waiting for? Get onto BitPiggies.com and order yourself some piggies. So welcome to the Bitcoin Rehab Show. It's nice to have you here. How's it going?
Yes, thank you, Kyle. Very nice. Well.
So finally managed to set up this thing. We've been planning ever since September when you won the lottery, basically.
Yeah, there was some delay from my side and from your side, maybe, but we managed to do it.
So yeah, finally.
Lazy Sunday. So finally, yeah, it's a lazy Sunday afternoon, so that's perfect for this kind of stuff.
So, yeah. How about we start with you introducing yourself, man?
Yes, I'm Luke from the Netherlands, and I'm quite interested in the Bitcoin rabbit hole story, like you call it. I'm into the Bitcoin scene from 2017, September, I think. And I was a little bit late, maybe, but
that's about time, I'd say, before the big bull run.
Yeah, it was before. Yeah, I was completely in it when it was bull running in December 2017. But yeah, okay. I think it's nice to tell about my background a little bit. I'm a mechanical engineer. I'm a dad of three children. 43 years old. I'm living in the Netherlands, like I said, and living a quiet, peaceful life and looking for some adventures lately, physically. And it means that I want to travel the world and see everything what's around there. And the coronavirus, was a big problem for me. It made me a little bit depressed. I couldn't do the stuff I wanted, so I reinvented I think Bitcoin story again in March when I saw the big drop and started all over.
Yeah. Like second chance for the latecomers, basically.
Yeah,
the first one was like that, in December 2018.
Yeah, I was really addicted to traveling and seeing the world. I was making plans with my children to see some parts, but you know, after the coronavirus hit in the Netherlands, it was quite difficult to travel, and I had to do something else. So this year was a really eye-opener for me, and quite interested in how to proceed when the virus is gone and we can live our lives like we want to.
Yeah, like everybody's plans basically kind of got cut off because of the virus. But like, at least we now, at least we see it, like how important it was for people to, you know, to organize within the community, as much as there is a community. Like people like, you know, who went to like places like the Lightning Conference, Hackers Congress. What else is there? Last time I managed to go to a conference was only in it was a meetup in Switzerland when we went to the Guns and Bitcoin meetup in Luzern.
Okay.
Yeah, we went to Brüning Indoor in Switzerland and we had some really good fun with some guns.
All right. Yeah, I had one conference in the Netherlands, but it was also late in 2017, but they still call it a blockchain conference. So it was not really focused on Bitcoin. But it was quite interesting. Yeah, not sure how it feels next year when those kind of meetups are possible again. It's really freaking me out right now because I like it so much to mm-hmm. meet people and go to festivals and stuff like that.
Yeah. No. So how do you are you a maximalist?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I
cool.
think I did some. I went all in 3 times this year. So
all in. Do you take up loans or something?
Yeah, it's quite. It's not like that. But I have this fiat job, and it's quite okay. I earn quite good. It's okay, and I have to bike 11 minutes to it. So my office mm-hmm. is 11 minutes bike ride from my home. So it's really. It's a really easy way to maintain the family and my 3 children.
How do you buy your Bitcoin?
How
do you acquire it? Yeah, do you get on an exchange or use BISC or something?
Yeah, I tried BISC twice, and I think it's a little bit
complicated.
I think it's complicated. Not really, because the amount of the amount of manuals and guides you can find, so you can just
uh-huh.
I'm not really yet settled for the mindset is not really good
uh-huh,
at this moment, so
I see.
So it's quite impulsive behavior, and I just decide to buy some Bitcoin on an exchange, a Dutch exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, during a television program on my phone, you know, I have to just do it really quick.
Impulse buying some Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's the way I like to do it. And then 10 minutes later, I think, oh no, why I did that? No, I'm already short of the normal fiat.
Yeah, it's not DCA, but it's like impulse buying from your chair during the football match. Oh shit, goal! Let's buy some corn.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, or during a movie or something, or my girlfriend is
watching about
a boring program.
Huh? Yeah, like movies going and oh shit, they're about a kiss. Let me buy some Bitcoin.
Yeah, yeah, and then I impulsively buying it, and then and 2 weeks later I'm laughing because you know Bitcoin is doing great. So and that's what's happening in the last half year. So it's not really, I'm not into the BISC or the whole HODL, you know, I'm really interested in it, but I have to find, maybe this vacation, you know, I have 2 weeks off now for the job, and when I have some time and I'm in the mood, I'm going to explore the BISC website and explore I want to try it, you know, to just buy a small amount to know how it works, and then probably I'm going to like it and do it more.
Yeah, these days the problem is that there's more financial regulation coming into the space. Like, for example, in the United States, the new FinCEN regulation states that anything above $3,000 have to be gone through an enhanced KYC check when you're withdrawing from an exchange. And if you're doing above $10,000, it have to be reported directly to the FinCEN. So this is quite invasive, what I would say, because, you know, people have the right to, you know, keep their Bitcoin in a sovereign fashion on their own wallet. But, you know, the way they worded it is saying that self-hosted wallets, that people don't host wallets. The wallets are already on the blockchain. You don't, you can't, you know, host it. You just create a bunch of words and then that's your wallet. Like, how is that self-hosted? That's just a sovereign way, as it's in my pocket. Now, soon, banks gonna be, you know, holding my money in bank accounts because fiat money gonna disappear. I mean, paper money. It's not just gonna be digital.
No, it's exactly the way you describe it. It's just some code on the big blockchain, and
we have a
couple of keys to enter it.
to
spend it if you want.
Yeah, that's why it's so important now to, you know, to try out HODL and the BISC, because, you know, as much as these regulations starting to come in, especially the EU's anti-encryption regulation, it's really important to know how to, you know, own your own Bitcoin. And if you can buy on BISC, that means that you can buy it in a censorship-resistant manner, so that not many exchanges, I mean, not many banks will know what is that random string that you're sending. Not everybody will be aware of that, or what kind of transaction is happening. They might ask about it, but you're not entitled to tell them that what it is about, especially if it's under 3,000 euros or something, or depends on what country you live in. But like this whole thing with the KYC and the AML is just a whole spaghetti, basically, of regulation that tries to control Bitcoin. But what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's quite disturbing, and the amount of freedom you have with your Bitcoin is gonna vanish like that. It's gonna fade, and when Bitcoin goes mainstream, it's important to understand that all the people who are new to Bitcoin, that they are aware of this, and that's a big problem. I think, you know, you have the guys like Matt Odell on Twitter, and they're only preaching all day about the privacy issue, and I think many more people should do that, and also the exchanges should find ways to add more privacy to it. And
but exchanges don't have the interest in mind. That's the problem.
Yeah, I think in Holland we have a second problem. That's the government. They added a few laws extra lately. I think they did it in 15 November or something like that. And they added some new laws. And the problem now is that they added in the law, they described that there must be a way to add a name to a Bitcoin address or an address of a cryptocurrency.
Well, good luck.
And that's exactly, good luck. And every exchange reacted on it from that's impossible, because you have unlimited addresses, so how can you ever add names to them? But they didn't listen, and now a lot of exchanges had to find a way to add a name to an address. And some do it by, when you make a transfer back to Euro, if you want.
But what if an exchange's database is going to get leaked and everybody's name is going to be there on the blockchain?
Yeah.
I mean, going to be there tied to those addresses. Does the government think about these privacy issues, that it could be, you know, endangering people's lives?
They don't think about that, I think. That's a really annoying thing. When I read about that, I was really thinking about the government standing 10 steps back and has no clue what they're talking about, and making laws without the knowledge you should have when you're talking about stuff like this.
So how does Bitcoin is going on in the Netherlands? Because I heard it was quite friendly up until now. Can you kind of blowing this thing up now for me?
No, it's not really. I think the exchanges found some back doors to make it friendly enough, just to for the mainstream to just buy and and go into crypto or in Bitcoin. But this is one step from the government, and I'm the only problem I have is I think that this is not the last step. You know, there will be more regulation, more decentralization, and stuff like that. So, and I don't want that. I think the Bitcoin, the guys who understand Bitcoin or try to understand it, like me, they feel that's that this is a big problem for the core business of Bitcoin. You know, this is why Bitcoin is on Earth for me, to stay completely off the grid and to be extremely private, and everything a company has to say about it, or a government has to say about it, it's one concern for me. So
I see.
So I think the future is not really that bright, and we have to find more. I think, you know, you're right to say the BISC and the HODLs kind of companies and websites should grow and should be more.
We still got some long way to go until then, but they're quite fairly usable. Yeah. But even though the liquidity is not too large on BISC, it's quite nice. No. Although my first experience was pretty bad, since my first transfer kind of failed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you lost money, or?
No, I didn't lose anything. I got the money back, so it was all good.
Okay.
It just didn't. It just got stuck, apparently, because I was using Windows, and Windows totally sucks. And even on Linux, it wasn't functioning as how it was intended to, and I wasn't happy about it at all. So yeah, that's my story with it.
Okay.
Yeah. Hopefully they fixed it ever since then. So yeah.
Yeah. I want to try it. Yeah, but you make me curious again.
Yeah, give it a try. I'm like 100 euros if you can blast on it.
Yeah, something like that. Exactly. Yeah, I'm going to try. Yeah, no problem.
So let's steer the topic a bit. So how's your friends and family view Bitcoin? Do they know about it, you own Bitcoin?
Yes, close friends and close family do. And I have some close friends, they own Bitcoin themselves. But not the way I do it. They just have some hundreds of gil, of euros, you know, that switched back in 2017, and since then they don't believe it's gonna be some stable store of value, I think. I tried to convince them the last couple of months, of course, but they don't really listen to that. So
maybe when they say Bitcoin $100,000, they will probably change their mind.
When they see it, yeah, then they have something like, okay, what do I do with all those shit coins? They do, yeah. Then they have, then they feel quite special, I think. But yeah, okay, my parents are quite interested. They're asking questions from can we use this, or what can we do? And I tell them what the options are.
Did and they buy?
My girlfriend. Sorry?
Did they buy?
No, not yet. No. It's they don't they're quite scared now.
And I see.
I think when they do, it's just only a couple of maybe 100 euros or something, just to try it, but they don't see the value of it on this moment.
Yet.
They need something. My dad is almost 80 years old, so you know, and he's quite an old man, but he's interested in stuff like this. You know, he believes it belongs to this time in history. You know, it's something that is normally that how do you say it. You can use it in the same way if you use social media, something from this time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's quite similar to that. You know, people call social media something like they don't always like social media, the older people, because of the lack of the social distancing between it. But when they see how many more doors will go open when you when you do something with social media, then it adds a different kind of value to your social life. And so it's not always bad. And I think Bitcoin could be the same. So, but my girlfriend, she's quite convinced it has something. It has a store of value. So she set up a wallet maybe 1 month ago. Yeah. And that was quite okay. Yeah. She's quite happy now.
I bet.
Yeah. So one person, I've convinced one person to open a wallet. And maybe I give her a hardware wallet to secure it a little bit more. And then it has some more value for her. So, in July, my brother got a child. So, I gave him, he was just, of course, a baby, and, mm-hmm. but I had to give him something special for his birth. So I gave him an open dime with some Bitcoin on it.
That's nice.
Yeah. And that's something I saw. I saw a lot lately, people are giving open dimes with Bitcoin to non-coin users, no coiners, and it's a way to try to convince them to add more to it and collect and store Bitcoin. So maybe when the guy is 10 years old, he can buy a car from it or something like that. It should be okay. Yeah.
So yeah. So what's your favorite beer?
Favorite beer, you mentioned the Belgian beers already, so I'm not really sure what beer is my favorite beer, but it's gonna be a Belgian one, I think. I think Carmelite is also very good.
I see.
You should Google Carmelite. It's a triple blonde beer, but if that exists. But are you using Untappd, the app?
What?
Untappd.
No.
But never heard of it. Okay. Yeah, it's a social media app where you can add beers to your list and other followers, they can react on it, respond on it or something like that. So it's in the Corona time, it's very good. You can drink at home with a lot of friends at the same time and then
interesting concept, yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. It's from the state. It's from the US, and I sent you a link to the website and to the app.
Sure,
it's a good one.
So how's the whole thing going on for you with the lockdowns?
Yeah, I think in April and in May, we had something in the Netherlands. It was called a smart lockdown. So not everything was closed, but most of it. And my children were at home studying, and I was trying to do some work here. And I think I was a little bit depressed. And I had no focus. I had no goal for this year, something like that. But that changed quite rapidly. And I'm feeling quite good now. It's no problem anymore. We have another lockdown from last week. So everything is closed again. For the second time, except big grocery shops or something like that, they're open. Huh?
Which is your favorite?
Grocery shops.
Is it the Albertijn?
Albertijn, maybe, but it's quite expensive. But
I don't know.
Right. we have Jumbo a little. It's quite popular and very close by my home, so I don't have to walk or drive that far. Yeah. So that's okay, but I think mentally the lockdown is much better now. I think it's okay now. We have to struggle through this 1 month again, and then we see in January we see again how it goes. And then I'm not really sure if the vaccines are doing the thing we want them to do. I think it's a really weird way of feel secure when the vaccines are coming. I'm not sure if that's the solution, but the time will tell. I have no idea. So.
Yeah, we'll see probably. So what's your future plans with Bitcoin? Do you have any?
Yeah, not really, actually.
No wild, crazy dreams like joining a citadel, buying land, or starting some companies?
No. The only thing what I mentioned was, you know, I love to travel. So when you have successfully bought some Bitcoin and hodled it for a long time, and so then the chances to go out and travel again are much bigger. So maybe my travel plans were quite huge, but maybe they become a little bit bigger than that. So I had a trip planned to Russia this year to climb the Elbrus, this mountain, quite famous mountain, and but it was cancelled, of course. It was not possible to go there. No flights. No organization wants to take us there. And it was skipped this year. But next year we planned, of course, again. And in June there is a second attempt. So that's one plan I have: climb the Elbrus. So I need to be fit and mentally strong, I think, and climb the mountain.
Nice.
And that's one thing. You know, you have that in your mind, and it helps me to focus and helps me to do my sports every week. And I hope my children will see that it's possible to do quite heavy stuff. When you're willing to do it, and when you have the possibilities. So that's one thing that's in my mind right now. And I think when that success will happen, the climbing of the mountain, the Elbrus, maybe later this year there are plans to do a course to be a wilderness guide. That's one quite of a dream, actually. Of course, it's quite expensive to do that, and we can try to fix that with Bitcoin. And next year I will be out a lot when borders open again.
Pretty good. And the great outdoors are waiting for you finally. Well, yeah, this whole Wuhan flu is over.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, the great outdoors. Yeah.
So what do you think about the Bitcoin culture?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, quite addicted to it. Yeah, it's quite cool. I only put two or three times something on Twitter. Try to add something to the culture, to the club, to the how do you call it, to the community. And it was, the responses were enormous. It's so cool to get a little bit of the feeling that you're part of a group that has the same thoughts about Bitcoin as I have. So that's quite deliberating, something like that, I think.
Yeah. How about Citadel 21?
Yeah, 21, Citadel 21. I saw them published their first magazine. So, you know, when I had the feeling that I was a little bit a part of the community, so I wanted to contribute, and I bought their first magazine. And it's in my closet, you know, behind the glass with this nice light on it, because I think it's a special thing to have a magazine like that. So, and I think it's a great tool to provide information to new guys in the Bitcoin scene. You know, I had one guide or manual how to set up this quite easy green wallet from Buckstream. And instead of doing it myself, I gave it to my girlfriend, and she set it up herself. So that was quite cool. So they had this feeling that it's not that really technical, and they can do it themselves. And I think that's quite important to teach to the new guys in the scene.
Yeah. It's all about it. It's people talking in it, also about interesting topics that you don't always see. Some people who might have something important to say, but they have no avenues to speak it. And like, at least people can get to read it about it over there. And it's you know, as you taught your girlfriend about how to use a wallet and how to set up and things like that, just as useful for people that read those things on the magazine.
Yeah. I think it was an article from Wizard of Oz. So thanks for that, Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, thanks, Wizard of Oz. Mr. Oz.
Yeah, he's quite a cool guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah.
So what do you think about, what do you like about the Bitcoin space? Do you have anything favorite in it? Like Twitter, Art Plebs, anything?
Yeah, the Twitter, I think, of course, is a great platform for it. And we have the luxury that, you know, the Jack of Twitter, you know, he's a Bitcoin guy, and you have the Elon Musks and all those guys who are supporting Twitter, the Bitcoin scene. And that's a cool place. And I'm quite happy that you said also from the art. I didn't know it was that big, the art scene behind the blockchain area. And I discovered it quite recently, actually. And I was quite impressed by this guy. I forgot his name, but I think it was Beeples or something like that.
I don't know him.
No, Beeple, yeah. It's an artist, and I saw his art, which he sold last week on...
B-Boy, you mean?
Beeple, yeah.
I don't
know. How you pronounce it?
Pascal Boyart, you talking about? Probably
no,
not.
No, I think it's... I shall send you this this link.
Sure.
Beeplegrap.com. And he has, quite interesting art. And I showed it to my kids, and they really liked it too, because he's using a lot of comic characters, like Buzz Lightyear or stuff from Pokemon and something like that. And he uses it in a quite horrifying way sometimes in his art. So that's... For some people, is not really interesting, but I think it's hilarious, and I love stuff like that. So,
nice.
I read a lot about it, and I heard he sold, digital art up to $150,000 worth of. So that's quite amazing for digital art. Huh? So that's a really bizarre environment to act on, I think. But cool that it exists.
So, where do you see Bitcoin going? The price, technology, anything in between?
Yeah, a good one. I think it's some people they expect to go up like crazy, but I'm not really that optimistic. It should go up, but it should also go down, and it's for me it also matters that it's more a store of value instead of something that goes up all the time and has this unlimited growth era around it. It's not really realistic, I think. So what I think is going to happen a couple of years from now is that the euro and of course also the dollar are going down, and that will make it look like that the Bitcoin is going up, but I think the Bitcoin is just presuming his value, and that's why I think it's a good idea to go to make bigger step to Bitcoin for new guys, new people, and save part of their euros or dollars in Bitcoin, because when you have when you buy a cup of coffee now and it costs you 3 euros nowadays, I'm not sure it's in 5 years the same amount. I think it's maybe doubled. You know, you have to pay 6 euros for a cup of coffee, and the inflation will go this fast that people are not able to see it, how fast it goes. I think it's going to be a big problem for people who are saving euros and US dollar. So I think big part of the rise of the Bitcoin will be caused by the inflation of the US dollar and the euro.
Yeah, inflation is quite a silent killer, basically, for savings, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any favorite Bitcoin tech you got?
Yeah, what do you mean by tech?
Like Lightning, CoinJoin related stuff or anything like that?
Yeah. Lightning, I set up some full nodes to explore the Lightning network. I was quite surprised by it.
Lightning fast. Children.
Yeah, Lightning fast, of course, and easy, of course, to use. And I think my children really like it because the ease of it. And they were asking a couple of months back. They were doing some jobs in the house, lowering the cutting the grass, how do you call it, lawn mowing the grass and doing the dishes and stuff like that. And I rewarded them with sats in Lightning from the Lightning network on their own phone. And that was, they were really extremely
excited,
fan of it. Yeah, they liked it a lot. So, and when they came from school, they told me very proud that they set up some wallets, Lightning wallets, with friends, other friends on school, and sent them some sats and something like that. I think, okay, this is quite cool.
Yeah, it's spreading in schools now. Yeah. You started something interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so, but I think also the ease, the quite easy way how to set up a full node nowadays. I'm quite a big fan of Umbrella. They showed a way to set up an own full node, like Peanuts. It's so easy to do. You just how buy the parts, put them all together, and it's done. So that's quite amazing. I think that I'm always been more a hardware guy than a software guy. So the hardware part is, for me, is not that difficult to understand. And so that's some kind of technology that really interests me a lot. Yeah. So when there is a new node or new software is brought out, then I have to
test it out. Yeah, cool.
I try it out immediately. Yeah, something like that. And when there's a new version or something, I think when I come home, the first thing I do is update the node and then look what changed and what the new parts are. Yeah. Yeah, that's quite cool, but I still see it as a hobby, and it's not really something I have to do for a living or something like that. It's not important to do it right away, but the circumstances are good on this moment. But I have to figure something. I have to figure that out again. So that's also on the list of figuring out. There's a lot of stuff going on. I think there's every day you see more and more of the technology growing, and sometimes I feel to keep up everything, and then I have a week like, okay, just relax a little bit, and I will see next week what's going on. So that's the pressure is not that constant present. That's good for me.
Cool. All right. I think we can wrap up the story now. Any last words?
Last words? No, I think it was cool to be in a Bitcoin podcast for the first time in my life. I was quite surprised that you let me win or something like that. But I think I was reading about your SMA, how do you call it? Your
thesis, yeah.
Yeah, it was quite cool. It's quite a cool story. Put a lot of time in it, I think. And okay.
Thanks.
For me, it's more than a hobby on this moment, of course, to be in the scene and to grow. But I think for new people, like I was a couple of years back, the scene is quite chaotic. Yeah? So I understand that new people are trying to find a spot where they can start, because when they Google, you have too many hits, and it's quite chaotic. It's really difficult to make a good solid start. And I think I'm gonna try to focus on that point and try to convince people to give it a try with very easy explanations about the blockchain and how an exchange works and what you actually what you do when you don't have your own keys in your position, but what could happen, and try to to focus on that and less on the technology and the tech part of it, something like that, more on the social part of it. So that's my my goal for the coming months, maybe year.
I see. That's cool.
Right.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate you coming. I had a really good talk with you, man.
Of course, man.
And maybe in the future, again, we'll get to talk again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem, man.
Right. Success with your podcast.
Thanks.
Looking forward. See you later.
See you. Well, that was it all, folks. The last podcast of the year. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I had a really great talk with Luke Dam. And I'm pretty sure we're going to have another talk sometime next year. So I hope you guys had a wonderful Christmas. Hopefully the next episode will be in early January. The guests will be Bitcoin Brains. And we'll be talking about Bitcoin culture, his work at Bull Bitcoin, and other stuff probably. As far as we managed to discuss it, our plans are still not set in stone, so we will see how it's going to turn out. So yeah, see you guys next time, and Happy New Year!